going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland. You've got...
Oh, man!
Corey Majors. That's my favorite commercial. And the famous Alec Medford. It is also a shout-out Friday, 877-881-1053 if you want to get involved in the show. But obviously, we're going to start by talking about draft night. I just wanted to throw this out there. I didn't know it was going to happen or else I would record it. Last night, these two guys came up to make, I think it's like pick 12 or 13. And they were like, hey, can we have the mic? And I was like, yeah, let's see what happens. And they go, with the 12th or 13th pick, they're going to take Pickle Rick. And they thought it was the funniest thing in the world. One of them was recording it for Snapchat. The other one was doing it. They thought it was hilarious. I was amused. The rest of the pluckers did not seem as amused. And then I took the microphone back and I go, who's your real pick? And then they made a real pick and that pick was wrong. But they thought it was an amazing moment to be able to say Pickle Rick for the draft.
Isn't that kind of antiquated?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, it's a few years too late.
Yeah.
I will say, whenever you sent that text over, I mentioned it to my table, and they all thought it was hilarious. So okay. They were still, man, in that vibe. So.
We could have used some of that audience last night.
There were a lot of people that were telling me yesterday that they were looking forward to Fry Slay. They were like, I cannot wait for Fry Slay to happen. So they're excited about today's show, and I am pumped too, Kevin.
Now, from the 214, okay, and from the 682 Fry Slay, come on, people. Yeah. From the 214, I didn't mind the pick of Tyler Booker. I just thought it was five picks too early. And I feel like people who didn't like the pick, I think that's going to be the consensus. Like, and I could be wrong. Like, we'll feel free. Text in 877-881-1053, Franklin Injury Attorney text line, or the Twitch, or the YouTube. Let us know if you liked the pick, didn't like the pick for the Cowboys. I get the sense that the overwhelming majority of people who didn't like the pick, it's going to be because they just thought it was too early.
Yeah, and granted, if you look at, I think the Bobby said they had them like 7 on their board. And listen, man, we never know. We never really know. But hearing Will McClay last night, Jerry was talking about it. Will like stepped in immediately. He was like, look, man, we ran mock drafts, you know, for 30 straight minutes on this specific one alone, and we all felt confident with it.
Okay.
And they all felt good and comfortable. So hearing them say that, they had a plan. And Kevin, you've been very adamant over history here of, I don't care if I disagree with your plan, just have a plan.
Yes.
Like, just have a real plan.
Specifically for this franchise, yeah. Yes.
And they seem to have had one last night. And Kevin, we also brought up multiple times last week the idea of, maybe, what if Tet's not there?
Yes.
And it was, okay, do you want Golden that much? Or what's more important, offensive line, cornerback? Now, I'll be very honest. Y'all heard me multiple times say, I think the Cowboys are fine going at whatever they got at offensive line, because what, they signed 3 free agent offensive linemen in the offseason too? And I was like, I feel like they're just loading it up. But a person like that is something that Brian Schottenheimer felt very strongly about, and something that it feels like the Cowboys front office felt comfortable going with. So I like the player. I like his attitude. I like the personality that goes with it. And if he comes in here and starts telling Tyler Guyton to get his ass in gear and start actually working harder, just like I'm working hard, then I'm all about it, man. I'm all about that.
From the 469, I love it. We need a big body now that Zach Martin is gone. And I went back after the pick and did some YouTube highlights, and the dude is good. Follow up. Do you think I should, or I don't know. This is kind of what I want to ask Stephen at 11:30, Stephen Jones, for my first question. Do you have the guts over the next 2 years to pick more two more Tyler offensive linemen and really figure this out? Or my other question was going to be, do you regret letting Tyler Biadasz go?
Mm-hmm.
So then you'd have four.
Man, I want you to ask that question because I think he'll laugh along with you. I think that's one where you'll really get Steven's approval, and it'll be a better interview because of it.
From the 214, and man, this was when Sean was asking about the biggest surprise last night. Obviously, the biggest surprise from like a bigger picture level was Shador not getting taken. But I guess I was also surprised. I shouldn't have been, because how much like back and forth there was leading into the draft. How many people were kind of reveling in his fall down the board from the 214? Shout out to NFL teams for not buying into the Shador Sanders hype and passing on him in the first round. Now, it seems like there's a divided group of people who are happy about this. There are some who are happy about it because they're like, it's strictly football. I think he is overrated, and I don't like how he got the Sanders hype machine behind him. But then it feels like there's a whole lot of people who are the exact opposite and don't like him strictly because, like, either his last name is Sanders and they don't like his cockiness, or they don't like what they perceive as his cockiness, or they don't like his dad, or whatever. But, man, so many people were locked into that last night, and it feels like a lot of people were really enjoying his slide down the board.
Yeah, I don't, at my place, it didn't seem like people were enjoying it as much as they were in shock of it. Like, they were just like, I can't believe that Pittsburgh didn't take him. They couldn't believe that New Orleans went with an offensive lineman first. That made sense to me, knowing Kellen Moore coming from that Jason Garrett group that was like, we're going to invest heavily in the trenches.
Yeah.
So that made sense to me. And then, you know, we'll see what they do at the quarterback position, because David Carr was talking about Derek yesterday, and there's a lot of like, we don't even know how he got to this point.
Yeah.
So looking at that, I think the biggest surprise, Kevin, was Colston Loveland. Whenever he was drafted, everybody was all about Tyler Warren. Everybody was knocking that one out of the park. And then Colston Loveland was the one that went, and everybody at my pluckers was like, I don't understand this.
Well, that's why
he's a good tight end.
You need to listen to NFL Overreaction or Reality. When earlier this week, that was one of the questions. Will Colston Loveland be the first tight end off the board? You know me. Like, I love listening to the insiders and the intel, but I also think you should follow the money. And the money had been dropping on Colston Loveland, who was like, I don't know, 6-1 or something like that to be the first tight end taken off the board. And it had shrunk to 2.5-1 by the day before the draft. And then it got to about like plus 175, plus 200. And so that's not to say he's definitely going to be it, because you're still the underdog. But man, that was a big move. And so I actually liked it when he was the first tight end picked. And I was like, yes, that is something that we, if people decided that they were going to wager, that they could have gotten 2.5-1 on their money.
I was surprised that Denver went with the cornerback instead of the running back.
Yes.
But then I started thinking, holy crap, their defense was already good. Like, they already had one of the top defenses. I picked them up in fantasy late because they were perfect for me. They already had a top defense. Now they have two fantastic cornerbacks to go out there. This is going to be a tough team to score on, and that's smart for them, considering it seems like their head coach feels confident that I can make offense happen.
But it did feel like, to your point, that Omarion Hampton at pick 20, if he was available, was something that
everybody
thought was going to happen.
Everybody in the room, whenever the guy announced Omarion Hampton, everybody was like, yeah, good pick. And they were like, all right, what's the special going to be? And I was like, I can't tell you until the pick is done. And then it didn't happen. I was like, y'all don't want to know, by the way. Y'all don't want to know that it was really good.
Oh,
because then they might get upset with the guy and hurt him because he messed up. And
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we don't want that.
See,
That's what I'm afraid of, is what I'm saying.
I don't think I've seen enough draft enthusiasm ever for a beatdown of somebody who got one of the picks right wrong. Like, even the CJ Stroud one, people were upset. But they weren't upset to the point where they're like, I'm going to hit you with this microphone.
Can I ask you about the last two picks in this draft? Mm-hmm. Why did they swap? Like, other than one team picked up an extra pick and one team lost to the other in the Super Bowl this year.
So I think the consensus was that this was actually one of the picks we got without any particular aid. Like, sometimes you try to help people out along the way. Was Josh Simmons. It sounded like they were pretty locked in and they were looking at offensive line. And of course, Patrick Mahomes posted the shades picture. And so I think Philadelphia was like, I think they're going to take offensive linemen, but what if they don't? And they probably called, and I could see something to the effect of, hey, who are you going to draft? And he goes, what's it worth to you to find out? And they're like, all right, it's worth a fifth round pick for me to find out. Because at that point, like, Let's say Jahad Campbell was who the Eagles were focused on all along.
So this,
like,
you're poker playing right now. I'll throw my ante in just to see your cards.
And that's exactly what I think happened because this is the same thing with the Cowboys. It's the same thing with anybody that's in this draft, you know, probably anywhere below five. You have what you think is going to happen, and then you have a dream pick that you're going to track. And if they fall far enough down the board, then you can make a move. And for Philadelphia, I think they were amazed that he was there because of their own internal scouting and probably a lot of the mock drafts. And at that point, they were like, hey, I'll give up a fifth to make sure we seal this. Or like maybe they thought
somebody else might be trying to move up and take.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I told that was my thought initially, but I didn't really know. But I thought somebody's trying to snag a player they want, and this is the last one. It just seems weird when you switch. It's like moving next door. You know,
sure.
It's just a weird, hey, we're moving today. Why? Because that's a different house.
But you totally get it from Kansas City's perspective, right? Because they were locked into Simmons either way.
Yeah.
And they're like, do you want to give me a fifth to find out that I was bluffing?
Mm-hmm.
Then to your poker analogy, then absolutely. So, look, I've already seen it. People concerned about the drafts that the rest of the NFC East had compared to the Dallas Cowboys. Also, with the Giants, inherently, you're going to have more ammunition, especially since they move back into the first round.
That was my first thought, Kevin, whenever Booker was drafted, was the division.
Okay.
And my first, everybody was like, hold on, what's going on? And my first thought was, okay, you got Dexter Lawrence, Thibodeau. That whole defensive line for the Giants now is stacked. They still aren't going to be able to score offensively until Jackson Dart takes over, probably. But defensively, they're tough. Dude, think about the Eagles' defensive front. They're beasts.
Yeah.
They're monsters there. And so you got that to deal with. And then you got Javon Kinlaw and Payne and Washington. So for six games, you need to make sure the middle of your offensive line is stout. And the Cowboys have always felt that way for Dak and Romo, that up the middle is more important, just as important as the outside for a quarterback. So they want to make sure of that. And if you do decide you want to run the ball, you need to have guys that push those guys back or at least stall them up so that you can create space for them.
Now, and this is what can get tricky, and this will shape a lot of people's opinions. I know that. From the 972, Booker was ranked as the number 32 prospect on the consensus board. Stupid pick. But even the consensus board depends on where you look and whose consensus board you're using.
Yeah, Dane had him as the number one overall.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Hard.
And
they liked him.
Some consensus picks had Booker at 27. I know that Mel Kiper does not particularly care for this, and he thought it was a big reach. And then Bobby said that Tyler Booker was a consensus top 20 pick. And so that depends on where you draw your consensus for. And I will go back to this. I understand the complaints because 11 years ago, give or take, I thought that Travis Frederick was a bad value pick. And guess what? He turned out to be an awesome player. Now, that might not change your mind about, hey, I think we could have got him in the second round. But we'll let's just lay this out right now. You'll never know the answer
to that. If Terrence Williams had turned into an all-pro, it would have been like, yes, this is the greatest pick ever because this guy was an addition that you got out of that.
And we'll never know now. Like, if you would have traded down to 25 with Houston, you'll never know if Tyler Booker was going to be on the board. Or, like, maybe you'll hear people say, oh, yeah, we would have drafted him. Like, that's great. You can say anything that you want after the fact. That's the only team that I really heard gave any semblance of a serious offer. And even then, the price to move up would probably be a second and a fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm willing to bet that Houston was not offering anything like that. Though I'm going to try to ask Steven about that and see if we can get any confirmation. So again, if you don't like the pick because you don't like the value, I totally understand that. I will admit, I did not like the value of the pick of Travis Frederick. And then he turned out to be an incredible addition to our team. And then I didn't really care about the value so much.
From the 972, I'm tired of the lack of risk over the past, I don't know how many years is all. So they want the Cowboys to be risk takers instead of smart, thoughtful, like this is going to help us. I get it, because you take a risk and what's going to happen? You could potentially boom. There's also the potential of higher bust. And I think the Cowboys were mediated.
Yeah.
They minimized the amount of potential bust with this pick, I think. My last year's pick so far is a bust, and that one's got to be corrected for sure.
And if that turns around or Tyler Booker hits, then all of a sudden you feel probably a lot different about this offensive line.
From the 817, boring pick, but I love the pick. We need a beefy line because the Eagles have a crazy good defensive line. That's from Dylan in Fort Worth.
Look, I will argue, you look at the span of 5 years, and those teams that just wore you down with a bunch of boring ass picks of players that maybe you've heard of or maybe you haven't until the last week or so. And I bet a lot of those teams are doing really well.
You know, the team that always gets me, Alec, is Baltimore. Baltimore sits there somewhere in the 20s every year, and they're like, okay, we'll just wait for the best player that is going to fit our team to fall to us. And he always does. Like, Malachi Starks falls to them, and you're like, of course he does.
Sure.
Kyle Hamilton lands in their lap. Of course Kyle Hamilton's their guy. They're the type of team that they make those picks, and sometimes they're boring because they're just like, this is going to be a really good defensive player in our scheme. And then they consistently are right there in the playoffs contending for it.
By the way, and we'll probably talk about this a little bit later in the show, too, for folks asking about, you know, second and third round picks, the potential of Will Johnson. That's one of the things that popped up yesterday, is there's concerns about his knee.
Yep.
And we've seen this happen again and again and again over the draft. And if you're looking for a more direct reason of why he fell, there it is. For Shador, I'm sure there's like three different consensus opinions. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You want to continue with the draft? Heck yeah, you do. And Corey has demanded. We go to the phones for your thoughts on the Cowboys and their first round pick or anything else about the draft you want to talk about. 877-881-1053. We don't always take phone calls, but we're doing it next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We don't frequently do this, but we've decided to go to the phones, 877-881-1053. Corey demanded it.
I asked.
He pounded his fist on the table.
And then broke the table.
And asked for GM Justin Rudd. And I was like, that's at Platinum Chevy. And he goes, oh, my bad. All right, let's start it off. Let's go to John in Delaware. Wow. John, how are we feeling about this draft?
I feel fantastic about the pick. We need to get that offensive line back where it used to be, and I can't wait to see Booker take the love of football from people.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, man, that dude right there has a personality of football, and that's the thing I think I like the most about Booker's the pick with Booker is that you saw the audio,
yeah.
You saw the Micah Parsons moment when that's how Micah wants people on his team to be. Like
it made me nervous at first, right? That he didn't love the pick.
Yeah.
But like
hold on.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, he probably doesn't watch a lot of film on everybody because, you know. But he was excited when he heard somebody is coming into this place with just as much excitement about the game as I am. And Micah does. I know he does a bunch of stuff off the field that people get furious about. But when he gets on the field, he does love the game.
877-881-1053. If you want to call in and give us your thoughts about the Cowboys' first round pick, I'm going to go real quick to Cynthia Freeland. I know you like her.
She's my friend.
She said that Tyler Booker was her highest rated offensive guard. And she liked the pick as well. She thinks it's going to immediately fill in for Zach Martin and that Booker has the best base, body control, and second effort response in college football.
Oh, wow. Second effort response is a thing that I don't think about too much.
Okay.
But, you know, that is when you're on the offensive line, you get knocked back a little bit sometimes. You got a big beefy dude across from you also. And how are you going to respond on that? How are you going to respond once you've knocked somebody back? And are you going to keep pushing and then go to the next level with it? Or are you done with your block now? So I like hearing that from Cynthia, somebody that I have a lot of respect for when it comes to her her knowledge and information and content. She's been great, man.
You have a lot of respect for her Instagram too, right?
She posted pictures of us on it. So yeah, absolutely.
Let's go to Ivan in Las Colinas. How we feeling about the Cowboys' first round pick?
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Corey. How is you?
We're doing great, man. How are you?
It's always great to hear, especially on a Friday. So I was actually at the Pluggers in Mesquite with Sean, and whenever the pick was announced, there was quite a bit of booze.
Oh, no.
Also coming from me. But I guess now evaluating the pick, it isn't too bad, I suppose. But to be honest, offensive line picks are always boring as hell to me. It's like, and unfortunately, you just got to wait till like September, late September, October to see if the pick was even worth it. But at the end of the day, anything the Cowboys do right now isn't as bad as what Nico does right now or says. Man, I hate that guy.
There you go. Man, that's fair. I was surprised when you said that the fire Nico chants were breaking out at your Pluckers. Well, that did not happen at my Pluckers.
The Pickle Rick thing that happened to you, that was what happened to me, was they got to the microphone and they'd say their
fire
pick and then
Nico.
They'd throw fire. And the whole place started chanting.
Yeah.
Like they knew immediately what to do. And I was very caught off guard. But then Kevin, at the same time, that's when I was like, well, I guess I got to be part of the mob and take part. And I had the microphone. So guess what? I was hollering it too.
So the somewhat new look Dallas Cowboys offensive line, Terrence Steele at right tackle, Tyler Booker at right guard, Cooper Beebe at center, Tyler Smith at left guard, and Tyler Guyton at left tackle. So obviously, at least as of now, not a mass of changes, just pretty much the one.
But a mass of bodies.
Okay.
That is a pretty massive offensive line for what they want to accomplish. And based on everything we hear from Schottenheimer, it is we want to run the ball down people's throats whenever we want to. You know, like that was the thing, Kevin, that line that had Tyron and they were in up to Seattle and they beat Seattle and we were like, dude, this team could actually go to the Super Bowl. Lost to Green Bay. What did they do so well? They knew you can't stop us from running the ball with DeMarco Murray. So we're going to do it. And good luck. We're going to get ours and it's going to wear you out throughout a game.
Ian Rappaport, one of the things that he Rappaported last night was that it was Tyler Booker's visit that the Cowboys were sold on him being a culture-setting piece.
Mm-hmm.
And
I hear him talk, man. I feel that. I can understand.
That's one of the things. Like, again, I'm not trying to convince everybody that you need to like the pick, but I feel like we get more complaints, aside from about the Jones family, about the culture of this team than anything else. And so how much of a bonus do you throw in for that?
That's something I want to ask Steven about, is making sure, you know, like how important is toughness and the toughness part of the culture part of toughness that comes along with it. I hope that like that has become a calling card for this team, because Kevin, getting pushed around over the last few years by more physical teams irritates the crap out of me. I don't like seeing it all. I like to be the one doing the pushing.
Let's go to
somebody did say from the 817, I'm just disappointed Booker isn't a tackle, because then we could call him Booker T. I know, I figured that would make you guys happy because y'all are wrestling.
Man,
fans.
That would be awesome. Let's go to Wally in Ennis. How is it going today?
Oh, it's going good, Tolos. Good morning.
Yeah, how do we feel about this pick?
Well, I feel pretty good about the pick. Dak needs some protection, but also we do need Shadur to come in and come from the Browns because they're going to pick him. So we need to get a trade with the Browns, get Shadur, make Dak come on with it, and just move forward. And also give CD something else to work with.
Okay.
That's a lot to ask for today.
That is a lot that we have to do. Man, you know what I like about that is I thought that was going to be then that the Cowboys drafted Shadur. He's like, no.
No.
The Browns are going
to take
Shadur.
They need to get
Shadur.
This taken care of.
Then you need to architect that trade, which feels very like NBA draft-esque when they're like, hey, we picked this guy, but I know you got to put on the hat, but not really.
Is Shadur looming throughout this draft, or is he a non-existent for these GMs?
I mean,
because for us, he's looming. Everybody's like waiting that.
That's a fair point.
But it does feel like these GMs are like, no, we're very comfortable going with something else right now. And nobody else seems to be wanting this either.
Every other team in the league was like, we're fine. If he's around in the second round, then maybe. And then the Giants. I think the Giants one is one that really stung because like there's talk about him going to the Giants at 3 a month or two ago. And then when they trade back in and they're like, no, yeah, we definitely want a quarterback. It's just, you're still not the quarterback we want.
What I'm fascinated by with this is there are 3 positions, Kevin, that we expected 3 or more players to go in the draft.
Running back, yeah.
Wide receiver, running back, and quarterback. We expected more in the first round. And so today is my expectation of you'll see a run on running back and probably a number of those quarterbacks going as well.
Now, real quick, Alec, can we throw it to cut number 13? Because I know some people were asking about the Micah reactions from last night. This is Micah Parsons on talking to Tyler Booker.
You had one of my favorite quotes of the entire draft process. You said, quote, I make guys not love football anymore. What does it feel like to see the love of football leave someone's eyes?
It feels great, you know, like football is a child's game. So like people wake up, be like, man, I can't wait to play this football game today. They listen to their hype music. They take all the pre-workout. They get so excited to play football until they come across Tyler Booker. And then when I'm going after you quarter after quarter, play after play, series after series, and I start to see that love leave their eyes. Like that's what makes me love the game. Like I just really love.
Oh my God.
Like,
play after play, quarter after quarter.
Hey, man, welcome to the team.
Yeah, he had me ready to go.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Welcome to the team.
This is gonna be tough to spin into a positive. That is serial killer sounding behavior right there. But that's exactly what you would want for that position.
Okay. So
do you know what I mean? Like when you're like, I saw the light leaving their eyes. And I was like, wow. Except this is all strictly from a legal standpoint in football. And like, that's the kind of edge that do we really have that on this team?
No, we haven't. Micah has said it, but it hasn't lived up. So therefore the rest of the team hasn't caught up to it. And Dak doesn't have that edge, right? Because Dak's so down the middle because he's taking care.
We see.
Yeah, we hear there's a version of Dak that's like that, but you don't see it that way. And you hear that from him, and I see this from the 214. The more I hear this guy, the more I love him. Kevin, I played that clip this morning for my son Carter, who has just gotten into football. And as he was watching it, his eyes lit up and he said, Dad, that's exactly how I feel when I'm on the field. My son plays right guard. He wants to watch Tyler Booker now because he's like, that's my new favorite player. And I was like, okay, that's awesome to hear. And he said, Dad, when you know you've beaten a guy at halftime, you know you've won. Yeah. And he said, you can tell, you can see it. I love hearing that from him because that hyped my son up, who's in love with football right now too. When you're that young and you have that kind of feeling, he was talking about it, you're doing all these things. But when you know you're the alpha, when you know you're walking into a game with the mentality of, I'm going to crush somebody's soul, Kevin, you've often said either my son's going to be a senator or a serial killer. So what you just said about that line.
You merged it into one here.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you know what? And I get this from the 203. OMG, people think we're drafting a quarterback. And they said that makes them sick. People can have differing opinions. I have to admit now, because of the trade that you made with New England, I would be surprised if the Cowboys drafted a quarterback. And I would be stunned beyond belief if they got Shadur Sanders. All right, let's go to Jason in Dallas. Jason, how are we feeling about the pick?
Look, guys,
I'm not ecstatic about the pick, but I understand the pick. I understand the value at the position. I like Tyler Booker. He's going to be a good addition to the O-line. My question is, does this upgrade the O-line a lot? Because if you remember, whenever Terrence Steele was playing next to Zach Martin last year, he wasn't so good. And I think it was more or less just because Martin was playing hurt. But whenever Hoffman went in there, Terrence Steele started looking better. So do you think that this kind of solidifies the right side of the line?
Now, that's a great question.
Yes, it is.
Because people have concerns about Terrence Steele. I think it was maybe yesterday, maybe the day before. Somebody was like, oh, if you're expecting a good season out of Terrence Steele, you're fooling yourself. And that is an interesting question. I know some people, if they could go back and redo this whole thing, would have liked the Cowboys to move on from Terrence Steele and potentially save that money with the split over
one
the
move
next
at a time.
Years.
You know, like that's they're trying. They're one move at a time here, but they have faith. They have faith in him.
So that's what's tricky, because right now, do you feel like the consensus for a lot of folks is they feel like they need a running back and they need a wide receiver tonight?
Mm-hmm.
But what would be really interesting to me? They have a lot of other holes too. But what if they did finagle a trade and they went ahead and picked up a tackle as well? Mm-hmm. Now, I know some people might be like, how much freaking, you know, draft assets are we putting into the offensive line? But I would be fascinated by that if people were happy because they're like, I got the wide receiver, I got the running back, I got the tackle, that maybe you take a look on the right side.
Yeah, I have no clue if that's a part of their plans. Hell, I was very confident that they were very comfortable with their offensive line and Brock Hoffman. And now I'm wondering, I don't think, somebody asked if they would move Brock Hoffman to the left side and have him play guard and kick Tyler out to tackle.
That is not the plan for now.
And yeah, everything we've heard is we want to make sure there's three in the middle with Cooper Beebe and the two Tylers on either side. That is Mauler City. And Kevin, that's what you're getting with those three guys. You're getting three dudes in the middle there that want to run through you. They're great road graders. So that's the goal there. My hope is, I don't know where Brock Hoffman's going to be on this. Like, I don't know how, if he's going to be like, I'm back up again. If they're going to have a strong competition in camp, that should be the thing. But at the same time, it should make Steele better on the outside. They should be working together there.
Here's what I'd say to Brock Hoffman. People don't think that this offensive line is very good. So if you,
what are you going to do about it?
Don't get a starting position, maybe you need to step up your game.
Yeah. What are you going to do about it?
By the way, people have loved the audio from the 682. I want to run through a wall right now. I'm so excited for Cowboys football. From the 469, sounds like a true guard. We need a soul taker on the Cowboys. And from the 217, I have no idea where that is. This is what I want draft picks saying. We have two nasty guards, and I love it. And that's one of the things, again.
That's Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Central Illinois.
Oh, but like, how many players do you think you really have on this team that are ruthless enough to be like, yeah, that's fine. It's 15 degrees and I'll break someone's effing finger off. Man, that I almost got too Tyler Booker hyped right there. And they're like, yeah, whatever it takes.
Yes.
Because that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to be upset about it or happy about it now, that's cool either way. But we really won't know for sure until September, and actually probably after.
And
that,
those kind of guys, Kevin, that you're talking about are the dudes that you don't have to pull into work. They show up, they do the work on their own, and they motivate others around them to be in that room until the work is done.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, you know what? It is going to be time for Baseball Nuggets. Will that get hijacked by NFL Draft Nuggets? We'll find out next on The Fan.
With the 12th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Dallas Cowboys select Tyler Booker, guard, Alabama.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Normally, this is the time that we would do Baseball Nuggets. And you know what? I wish it was more jovial. But go ahead and make people insane in the membrane and give me cut number 16, because the Rangers had three home runs in one inning for the first time in like 18 months. They had the game, but then this happened.
The 3-1 pitch. Swung on, line to center, base hit. Rounding third is Arias, and he will score. The throw by Leote is way late. Sliding in without a tag is Arias, and the A's have come back to win it. by the score of 4-3.
Now,
appropriate excitement level for Eric Nadeau.
Yeah,
that's exactly where it should be.
There was also an error from Leody. I know he hit a home run as well, which has led to this combination of the topics from the 254. Any chance the Cowboys would draft Leody Taveras today and get him off the Rangers?
You got to imagine at this point that Boach is not happy with that. You've cost me. I mean, you could probably point to multiple games now.
By the way, though, if we're going to be fair, Wyatt Langford cost them yesterday with not seeing the ball in left field, too.
Yeah, I would say that you have a little more patience with him, for considering sure. his bat and yeah. what he is and everything. And Leody did have a home run yesterday, so congratulations True. For that. Like, that's nice. But winning the game, these defensive efforts, it's happened multiple times this season so far, and it happened multiple times last year.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's not going to be a beneficial thing, especially when he's already at a point where he's like, we have to win games. I'm not letting this guy come up and play for us because we need to win games. So from the 817, put Pilar or Harris in. And they yeah. feel very comfortable with Pilar. Again, Bochy this season has tried to make sure he's in a position that he will succeed the most so that his confidence is there. And whenever it comes to Dustin Harris, we like him. Like, we're all about what he's doing.
Now, it is also a shout-out Friday from the 214. Can me and my new wife, Brittany, get a shout-out? We just got married, and I toloed immediately after. That's Paul from Mesquite. Congratulations to you guys. I don't know if that is totally the best strategy, but I also don't know how big of a tolo your wife is. But congratulations. Now, this baseball and NFL draft nuggets combination segment is, of course, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. We're sad about the Rangers. I feel like we need a pick-me-up.
Oh, I was going to add another sad thing before that.
Oh, okay. Tell me.
The Kamar Rocker.
Yeah.
How that was. So in my mind, it was like, oh, well, this makes complete sense. Leiter would come up and replace him and everything's good there. That wasn't the change that we saw. But knowing that he is experiencing that after what was a poor outing, you kind of feel like maybe you can make that your excuse for whatever it is. But again, roller coaster for Rocker this season. It's going to be like that now that he gets his opportunity to kind of take a breath and go back. Maybe he'll really start talking to the coaches and start talking to guys about what he can do better and how he can be better when he does get back.
So there's negative Corey with more sad news.
I threw a positive in there.
Always positive, Kevin.
That's never been said.
That's probably true. Is here with more positive news about Tyler Booker, but you don't have to listen to me. Let's go to cut number 7. Former Alabama teammate Will Anderson. It's, you know, going pretty well for him in the NFL. What does he think about Tyler Booker?
Tyler Booker, man, I speak very highly of him, man. Great character guy, but I think he has all the attributes you need to play the offensive line position. He's a mauler. He loves to finish blocks. His leadership skills, his mentality. He wants to be the best, and he's really hard on himself. And, you know, I'm kind of the same way, and that's what builds you up. That's what makes, you know, who you are. And he has all those things, man, and I can't say enough good things about him, man. And wherever he end up, he's going to change that team, change that program, and change the offensive line for sure.
I love hearing that.
He ended up here.
Yeah, and I do love hearing that from a teammate. Not a teammate that's just gushing over their friendship or everything, but he just has all these great things to say about the football player first. And he's going to walk into a building, and that's the first thing you hear from Schottenheimer. He's going to walk into a building and change and help with the culture across the offensive line. And you want your offensive line's culture to be this one mentality of we're crushing people in front of us. You don't want anything else other than our goal every time is to ensure that we get 3-5 yards on every single play. And if not, we're getting 25 yards on a big throw from Dak because we gave him the time.
You know, we talked about this a little bit yesterday from the 254. Just get ready for Jerry to sell everything to get Arch next year. I guess the consensus of our show thus far is we do not believe that that is what's going to happen in terms of Arch being available in the 2026 draft. Maybe he will, but I think you can go ahead and look ahead to 2027.
Yeah.
And he spends the next two seasons as the starting quarterback of the Longhorns, and then he goes into the draft. They don't need the money. People aren't going to forget about him. It sounds like being the quarterback for Texas has been a dream of his for a while, and I don't think he's sat around with this program so he can realistically play for 1 year and be like, all right, I'm good.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's the case either. He wants to, again, run the University of Texas.
Yes.
And he absolutely has that entire school in the palm of his hand. He, like, everybody wants him there. Everybody loves him there. So, and I, was it Archie said he wants three more years for him there? So, well,
even then.
And I don't know that, you know, how much he listens to Grandpa. Like, maybe there's, you know, hey, Grandpa, that's a good idea and everything, but I'm going to do what I want to because I'm my own man. But Cowboys have a lot of building, you know, that they're continuing to do here.
From the 682, I will let you decide, smart ass question or no. I have an answer either way. Just curious, will the station hosts be providing in-depth baseball draft coverage for the next couple months since you're also the home of the Rangers?
I can only good at it.
Yeah, I can only speak for our show. Corey told me about Kamar Rocker 2.5 years before the draft. Now, I didn't actually think there's any way we would figure out Jack Leiter and Kamar Rocker, but yes.
Mike gave me credit for that on the TV broadcast.
We talk about leading into, we've talked about the situation where they finally introduce essentially the baseball lottery. We talked about that and then the movement of the picks, and we'll do previews for the MLB draft all
We should call our friend Cameron Rupp up and see.
Yes.
Since he was like, he did some, I talked to him when he got drafted in high school and we had a really great conversation. That experience, we should kind of revisit that with him and see how that goes. But yeah, Kevin, we really like the draft, the baseball draft a lot. We have a lot of, a lot invested in it. So that is our hope, is that whenever we tell you about a player that they are looking at, that's the player that we feel, and that's the player that they also feel is going to be a benefit to them in the future.
Yeah, I agree. And your buddy Ed Werder threw something out there.
Great, man. This is awesome. I love hearing this.
Do you have any thoughts about Ed Werder?
We made a friendship happen at Oxnard this year.
Did you?
Yeah. I went and talked to him for a few minutes, and we got everything squared away.
So Tyler Booker, in his 970 pass-blocking snaps in college, gave up one sack. Now, I know people point out this past year, zero sacks. But here's another thing that you probably should care a lot about. In 740 blocking plays, he had 6 missed blocks. That was a missed block percentage of less than 1%, the second lowest in the SEC. All right, so I think, like, you can have lots of thoughts about it, lots of different things. Feels like people are feeling pretty good that the SEC is a quality football conference. And I'm telling you, one pass blocking sack given up, and he had the second lowest missed block percentage in the SEC.
I will say this. Is it 17 years now that Alabama's had a first round pick? 17 consecutive years.
Is that right? I did not know that.
And he was the first one picked this year. But how many years, Kevin, have we gone into the draft and been like, man, wouldn't we love to get this Alabama offensive line?
Yeah.
Wouldn't we love to get that? Oh, and sometimes there's one sitting there and we're like, why don't you just draft offensive linemen out of Alabama? It just seems like they're always getting the best of the country. Whenever they're coming in out of, you know, blue chip high school players, might as well take those guys now. And they did exactly that this year. They said these programs produce fantastic talent. And Will McClay has said that many times. We go to programs that are producing. And that's one of the players we found.
And I feel like we've been pretty consistent on this. For people that don't like Dak, I'm not trying to change anybody's opinion on that. You can't change that for at least 2 more years. We try to focus on the things that can be
right,
changed.
Right, yeah.
And so I like this from the 903. Any pick that protects Dak is a solid pick. And
I agree.
That's kind of where I fall as well. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for some gridiron gravy where, hey, guess what? Let's talk about the rest of the NFL draft next on The Fan.